My name is Laura Eady, and I'm so happy to come back to my podcast, The Notes Between, as presented by Women in Jazz Media, a podcast all about songwriting and the stories that inspire the songs. I've taken a 6-month hiatus, as you all know, so it brings me nothing but pure, pure, pure joy to introduce a new guest to inaugurate the continuation of The Notes Between, pun intended, the wonderful, wonderful Kate Smith. Kate Smith, hello!
Hi, Lara.
It's so, so lovely to have you here. Folks, you're in for a real treat. I am going to just talk to Kate Smith, who is an incredible artist of many, many hats, as you'll soon discover. Just a few words about the lovely Kate Smith before we dig in, and I'll just pass over the mic across the seas to her, because this is
awkward important. Hearing you talk about me.
And I know, but it's going to be bio. The bio. So this is her bio, folks, just a 2-minute read. Kate Smith is indeed a multifaceted artist and vocalist based between London and Lisbon. Building on a vibrant career as a performer in diverse genres from opera to vocal improvisation with performances at King's Place, Bristol Old Vic, and the National Theatre Studio, Kate is now releasing her first solo EP, Songs from the Body. Inspired by the rhythm, geometry, and energy of nature and the body, these unique pieces integrate voice and movement, bringing space, voice, performer, and audiences into new and surprising relationships. I don't know about you, but I just want to spend the next 40 minutes talking about this. So I am just going to ask you, Kate, very first question. Who is Kate Smith?
Oh, gosh. Oh, such a difficult question. Who is Kate Smith? I think the thing that has always been a struggle, but also I think I'm embracing now as my strength, is that I don't fit into boxes.
Yes.
And I've always been a person who is inspired by arts of all sorts and types. I grew up with a musical family. I grew up with a mother who's a visual artist. And I myself wanted to be a painter and an actress and a singer and an archaeologist. And, you know, I loved to dance, and I loved being outdoors, and I loved politics, you know, just everything. So I'd have to say that if there's anything that pulls the crazy career and life that I've had so far together, it's that I love exploring. I love meeting new people, crossing boundaries, whether it's, you know, artistic genres or traveling around the world. And I suppose that's what's going to continue driving what I do as an artist, is making connections between things and just pursuing whatever brings me, like you say, joy.
I love that. And I know I started this podcast with a difficult question, but actually I knew that it'd be easy for you, because essentially that's who you are as an artist. You're not just one thing. Your bio says it, I know, but you're telling me in a very eloquent way, hey, I love to do this, 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 and this. And that's something that truly that is not talked about enough, how artists are really a result, as you said, of their life experiences, their life choices, and their personal choices. And I think that when it comes to songwriting, I mean, you and I have had these discussions loads when we were both living in London about what it means to actually be a songwriter. So what's your opinion as of today? I mean, what defines, you know, is there such a thing as, you know, understanding, giving definition to a songwriter, in your opinion?
Well, it's funny that I've never actually used that word myself to describe what I do. And I think, like you were saying, the journeys that we take, they may be circuitous, but it's all part of the story that we make. And so I explored like songwriting when I was a teenager, playing guitar. But for me, it never quite clicked. And it was only when I kind of found my way to songwriting, I'm going to use the words songwriting, composing, making music from an entirely different perspective, that it started to make sense for me. And so is really when I started to work with the body and the voice in conjunction, and just following that connection down the rabbit hole. Mm-hmm. It has, you know, pushed me out the other side.
Yeah, 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 totally.
And
totally.
Suddenly I'm like, oh, I'm a songwriter now. What happened? So when you ask me what is a songwriter, I guess I can only refer to my own experience. In that I'm fascinated by what I'm fascinated by, which is the voice, mm-hmm. By movement, by people, and by spaces. And so I work with those elements mm-hmm. like they are material, and I put them together and pursue what my inner ear and my inner vision is hungry for. And that has emerged in at the moment these pieces, which are for voice and movement, which is again not a traditional maybe way of thinking of what a songwriter does, but they also involve a lot of improvisation at times, depending mm-hmm. on like how they're performed or listened to or enjoyed. Mm-hmm. So I guess for me, being a songwriter has been kind of embracing that trajectory of honoring what I'm hearing and wanting to experience in the world that no one else has made yet. And it might not look like a traditional song, but kind of trusting that it's worth my pursuing this thing that I imagine and creating it, regardless yes. of what it looks like
or what it sounds like. Absolutely. Yeah. I love that. You've touched upon three things, which we'll explore later on. In particular, your fascinating work with really, really understanding the connections we have. And I'll use that word in plural form intentionally. The connections we have between body, between voice, and between earth, really, nature. Something that as humans we often forget, or as you know, most of us don't really find an interconnectedness to. And I think it's been the bulk of your work, of your life work, in fact, which has filtered its way, not just through your teaching, which we'll talk about, your beautiful practice, the embodied voice, but in reference to your beautiful debut EP, Songs from the Body. So with that in mind, since you really love to explore and play with voice and body as instruments, really, in connection mm-hmm. to the earth, I have been listening to your EP for a whole week, Songs from the Body. It is, there's no word for it other than a human heartbeat. That's what it feels like. And of course, the titles are very, very indicative of what to expect. But I think what I really want to explore is, before we get to the lyrical bit, I would love to understand really what inspired you, because I know this album was born out of lockdown, right? As most of us, but really what inspired you to record with yourself, which is what you did initially. So talk to us a little bit about what inspired Songs from the Body and maybe that process of taking it from a solo place to a collective.
Ooh, it's like, where do you start?
Yeah, we've got time. Yeah,
exactly. I guess I can start with maybe my research into the voice and body connection. Because that's really where I find my personal mission or my purpose. Because I feel there is this deep, deep separation in our society between our voices and our body, and also between we as humans and nature. We tend to exist in this sort of imagined reality, this imagined world that has been created by our brains. We are always caught up in thought. Mm-hmm. And through, you know, eons of Western development of our culture, we've started to think of our bodies as like machines or like just flesh that gets us around to do the things that our brain feels are important. And we've really lost touch with how we are visceral creatures that were made by the earth. Like literally any other thing that exists on the planet, we have been made by the interconnectedness of all things. And when I started to really dive into my musical practice, the voice just led me to this origin story. It had to, because to sing with authenticity, to sing with fullness, to sing with life and being and presence, you have to be in your body and you have to be of your body. You have to be being your body. So that was a really beautiful and important learning for me that I continue to, a journey that I continue to travel on. And I think I will forever, for the rest of my life. And kind of having the deep and fulfilling experience of what it felt like to sing in a body that was feeling present, has led me to also facilitate that for other people. And I think the creative impulse that comes when you are fully voice and body connected is something that we all have. It's actually just a very natural output of being embodied, and sound is just a part of nature, like we are in our movement. So I think we're all creative. I think we can all make. And so creating this music is just an output of that. It's just me saying, well, this is what happened. I was playing, I was being, I was living through me. And these ideas and these sounds came up, and that's the music I've made. And the goal for me is that people, when they listen to it, when they experience it live, when they sing it, it also evokes in them a sense of their own embodiment and that deep primal connection to what movement and rhythm and voice connect us to, which is each other and the earth.
Wow.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I'm just processing everything as you speak. What a beautiful speaking voice as well, Kate. I've always told you this. And I think as singers, if you're listening, this is exactly what our mission should be, honestly. And I think Kate has put it so perfectly. So on that note, we're going to go ahead and listen to the first track, which has already been released as a single, Seeds. And I'll just go ahead and quickly just leave you with a few lyrics, because I think this sums up what Kate is evoking through her music and persona. So Seeds begins with, "So you rise, pressing your fingers through the earth, your spine, a twisting spiral unfolds, an endless geometry, endless, endless, the pull of the stars and kiss of the sun of great patience, axes shifting through the night, taste the summer loam, sap pulsing through the veins, rise to meet the call, rise from stillness."
boxes shifting through.
You know how people say music is a journey? What a journey, honestly. It's such a journey. And very quickly, I know that you've been inspired by like-minded artists in your field, as well as, you know, music that has nothing, almost nothing to do with what you create. Because you come from a classically trained background, but you've delved in the world of cabaret, of theater. And lastly, you know, one of your favorites, the world, the very, very, very wide world of vocal improvisation, which we're going to talk about. But before we do, when I heard your EP, I heard beautiful references to, you know, folks you love like Myra Smiley and A Room Full of Teeth. And what I really like about those artists is that they also, like you, challenge the notion of what it means to be a singer-songwriter. And I think that when you listen to her EP, folks, you'll understand that all the layers and textures come from a place, and correct me if I'm wrong, Kate, of improvisation, but it feels settled. Even though it takes you somewhere, it definitely takes you on different trips within a song. Somehow the recorded version, because it's recorded, this is what I'm getting at, feels settled. But my question is it really? Because your joy comes from you, Kate, as in Kate Smith, comes from taking those recorded versions out into the public. Now, here is where the traditional trajectory of singer-songwriter versus vocal improviser, you know, they kind of meet and they kind of differ. So what do you think about that? Is it, do you want folks to experience a song or a performance or both?
Well, there's a lot of stuff to kind of pick up on there. So I suppose, let me go back to the question you asked before we listened to Seeds, which was about me recording it all with my own voice.
Yes, let's do that.
Because it might be relevant to this.
It so is, yes.
I originally composed these pieces for a group of singers in a space. So I'm thinking about how their bodies are moving, or how my body is moving, and what sound comes with that movement. So everything is scaffolded off of a movement. That doesn't mean it doesn't go somewhere. It's not like every note has a particular choreography, but that it's built from a particular feeling in the body. So in my composition process, yes, there's lots of improv, but then I'm also interested in, and I love that you brought up Roomful of Teeth and Moira Smiley. I'm really interested in like the voice as an instrument and music as texture, as color, as like a visual material. And I think part of that way of thinking about the voice comes also from the vocal improv world. Because when you're improvising with only your voice with a bunch of other singers, you have to take on all of the parts of what would normally be like the guitar, the bass, the cymbals, the, I don't know, the arhu, the, you know, whatever it is, you have to be making that sound with your voice. So you really turn your voice into something that's not a typical, you know, just sung melody or something like that. So for me, it's about the rhythms, the shapes that I'm composing with in the body, but also the shapes of the music and the shapes in the space. So there's a lot of like physical shaping going on. So when that comes into a live space, what I love doing is having these structures and these particular notes, it might be, but that I give to the singers who then can be feeling it in their body, which means that things might change. And that's where the improv, the invitation to improv arises. Things might change in the performance, and I like to have a space for that. However, then in the recording, I, you know, didn't have singers because it was the pandemic and I couldn't put it on. I couldn't do the shows. So I started to lay my own voice on top of my own voice. And it's interesting what happens is it turns into something, like you say, that feels quite settled. But it also means that in life, it does feel familiar, but also a little more bubbly or different. They are different outcomes.
Yes, I totally hear that. Totally hear that. And, you know, just to touch upon, you know, how necessary a tool vocal improvisation is for all musicians, actually, not just for singers or songwriters, but for everyone, in my humble opinion, and I know in yours. I think that, you know, going into a space, like you say, as Kate, the musician, versus Kate, the teacher, it feels like it's one and the same, because what you're doing is you're sort of, you know, quote unquote, teaching the music, as you say, to your fellow singers, but you're intentionally giving them incentive to move through the music, with the music. So really,
yeah, to make it their own, to really be feeling why I made the choices I made.
Yes.
And so even when I'm teaching this music to the singers, I go about a very different process. It doesn't work actually to just give them sheet music and say, okay, sing this, because it doesn't capture the heart of what it is, and therefore it wouldn't translate into a good performance. So actually the process is very different. I almost lead my rehearsals like a workshop. I take them through like a somatic experience, and we find the movements, and then we put the music on. And you generally don't have them look at anything, which can be hard for memorizing, but it also means it goes in a bit deeper, I think.
It really does. And I love that. I love how you're cheekily across the Zoom, folks, because you can maybe hear it in her voice, but you know, that's the genius behind Kate's music, I think, that she knows that things will change, and she knows to expect the unexpected. And maybe the singer she's working with won't know, which it makes it even more interesting, I think. And I think that anyone who's ever attended a workshop of hers with her beautiful platform called The Embodied Voice has experienced that, and has come away feeling rejuvenated and also confident, because like you said at the very start of our conversation, the voice is something everyone has access to. And it's so, I think both of us, because we come from a melange of things and part of our training is conservatoire based, I know you especially went away from that using the tools that you learned, but also you realize that beyond the walls of a conservatoire, there's a whole world of possibilities. And I think that your EP is the culmination of, I would say, maybe a decade of you really doing the research within yourself. It feels very raw, very authentic, and it's a beautiful piece of work. And and actually, funnily enough, because we keep talking about, well, what makes a vocal improviser different from a singer-songwriter? Funnily enough, take Joni Mitchell, who we both like. Mm-hmm. And I know I always bring her up, but you know, you kind of have to throw Joni in there for you know, example's sake. But Joni Mitchell herself, I don't know if you've read her book. It's a very fascinating set of interviews called Both Sides Now. And she addresses the fact that every time she brought a piece of her music to rehearsal, she would change it. So the musicians had to learn the music in a different way, with a different progression, with a different rhythm. And they would get annoyed because, you know, like most musicians, they would say, well, why haven't you just settled on a chord progression or rhythm? I mean, what's happening? And her answer would be, because I feel differently about it today, because the voice wants to do this, or my guitar wants to do that. And it's very much the experience I had listening to your music, because I could automatically feel myself transported to that live space. And I can't wait to see this live, which we'll talk about when in a second. But first, we're going to treat ourselves to another single, which I'd love you to introduce, which is coming out, I believe, on the 20th of October.
Exactly. We're going to listen to Your Tears Will Dry, which is the third movement in Lullaby's triptych. Which, should I say a little bit about it?
Go for it.
Okay. All three movements are based off of a very simple physical movement, which is rocking, which is what we do when we want to soothe ourselves. And it's very good for your nervous system. It feels nice. And the lullaby just emerges from that rocking. But what I was interested in was spreading out the notes between nine different singers. So there's it's almost like the material is little drops, and that slowly they build up together, spread over these voices, like a bunch of hockets, basically. The hocket. I love it. Yeah, to create this texture. Each movement is, they all are built off of this rocking, and just a kind of a different perspective on how I wanted to play with that idea. So this third one is the very last one in the triptych.
And it's called
Your Tears Will Dry.
Beautiful, folks. Let's have a listen.
Oh.
yourself to sleep, lull yourself to sleep, little one. Your tears will dry, no one else will ever see you cry. The night will hold you close. Lull yourself to sleep, lull yourself to sleep, little one. Your tears will dry, no one else will ever see you cry. The night will hold you close.
That was just heart-wrenchingly beautiful, and that was Lullaby number 3 from Kate Smith's EP Songs from the Body, and that was called Your Tears Will Dry. Now folks, the titles themselves are just, they really feel like a suite, you know, it's a collection of vocal suites. The first one being Seeds, Hold Yourself, There Are Ways Your Tears Will Dry. It almost like you're writing this for yourself. That's what it feels like. Of course, it's music is a shared experience, but the more personal the material, the more, as you said earlier, people will resonate with what we do. And I think that this is a very, very personal album. It almost feels like, yes, it was born during the pandemic, A, but B, it's also a collection of your 10 years of exploring as an artist. And C, it feels like one of your maybe subconscious intentions was to lull yourself to a place of comfort, of belonging, of acceptance. Am I right, or am I leading somewhere? That's what it feels like to me, at least.
Well, I love the fact that with any art, you put it out and the audience makes of it what they will, right? Mm. So it's always an interesting question, is like, what was your intention? Versus like what did people interpret, or what did they experience from it? Mm. I mean, I have to agree, it's a very personal project. Mm. Because it really feels like I started doing this music when I was not trying to satisfy anyone else. I was like, I'm a weirdo. This is what I love. I want to hear this, and I'm just gonna do this. there was like, I let go of every other expectation really to do this, and actually in trying to communicate about what my work is, because it's so interdisciplinary, it's neither music, it's neither dance, it's neither theater, it's all three of them. It has felt hard to communicate that to people and be like, yes, it is all of these things, and people are like, I don't get it. I'm like, because you need to see it. You need to hear it, you need to feel it. There has been this, like, I really needed to trust my intuition that this was worth it and that it would mean something or that people would connect to it. And I think, yeah, it, that process, your own intuition and doing it for yourself is the only thing you can rely on. But that said, was it about comforting myself? I think I am a bit of a jokester or like a trickster in my music making, because I love beauty and I love to sing with my voice in a way that can be quite pleasing. But in everything I do, I feel like I also have this urge to undercut that and to subvert expectations and to offer something that might at first sound quite beautiful, but also has a tinge of darkness or strangeness. And that's definitely what I feel like is going on in Lullaby's triptych. It is a lullaby, but it's very sad. It's about someone, a child, or someone who feels like a child inside, that whose needs have not been met, and they are comforting themselves. And they're turning to nature and they're turning to the night sky for comfort, and they're not relying on anyone else. So it's quite a sad, sad song.
Yes, and I'm going to have to agree with you, because that was a sort of leading question cheekily on my part. Because as we both know, and to anyone listening, you know, the origin of lullabies is actually coming from a, you know, very sad place, and they're quite dark lullabies. But still, what you've managed to do, but you've managed to marry the beauty of your voice anyway. It's a gorgeous voice, but you've pushed the boundaries of that, coupled with the lyrics, which are quite dark. I mean, they're very real. They're very vulnerable.
They are. Yeah.
Very, very vulnerable.
And there's also these sounds, these like honks that I put in the song.
Yes, honks and
which
wails.
Everyone's like, those are so strange. And I'm like, yeah, but I need something that feels sharp.
Exactly. You know? I love that. And I heard that actually the very first track, Seeds, where I think you have two very fine vocalists guesting. You have Dominic Stitchbury and then you have Ben C. Yeah. And they've got great, you know, they're a tenor and a bassist and great, great singers, but they're undercutting your wailing and honking and nature sounds. And it feels like it's actually each track for that matter feels like it's a conflict, an intentional conflict between the child versus the adult version of the child. So the question is, who do we want to be? And like you said, very, very, you know, astutely, well, actually, Laura, I'm a jokester. So you clearly made your stance on what you want to do with this music, you personally.
And yeah, I think it's interesting with Seeds is a slightly different beast than the lullabies, because it has this driving energy behind it, that the energy of the seed kind of growing and breaking through the earth and growing up and reaching out. So in that one, I did really play with using the bass and the tenor voices, which I also doubled with my own voice, as sort of like a different time stretch, so that there's three female voices. I guess they're all my voice anyway. my three voices are kind of like the little seeds interlocking, and they're very energetic. And then those two voices come in as like the big time shifts. They're longer, they're slower, they're deeper, but they also do have a lot of dissonance. And I love dissonance. I love crunchiness. I love sounds that, for me, they kind of like itch something in my brain.
Yes.
If there's a dissonance, if there's a crunchiness. So yeah, those are always undercurrents of the music I want to make, that it may seem like everything's great, but there's always the other side.
Yes, exactly. And I love that. I love how you embrace all sides of that. And I think it's so wonderful to listen to you talk about it, because it resonates with a lot of what I was feeling as a listener. But as you said so yourself, one has to really experience your music. It's not just, and this is in no way demeaning those singer-songwriters that just produce audio or video clips, but it's beyond that, You know, it's an immersive, truly an immersive experience. And I know that you are going to be having your grand album launch in London on the 27th of October.
28th.
Oh, I'm sorry, folks. The 28th, pardonnez-moi. 28th of October at, and I think it's Hoxton Church, St. Hoxton Church.
St. John's Church in Church of the Baptist Church. Anyway, St. John's Hoxton. That's what they call
St. John's Hoxton, folks, on the 28th of October. 28th. And you've got your details on your site and your site, which is
katesmithmusic.com. nice and easy. www.katesmithmusic. I know it's funny to have an artist name. I mean, it is my name that is the most easy name to guess in the world.
Oh, I'm the same. And you know, when people ask me how to spell my name, I always have to say E-I-D-I, and they're like, E-D-I? No. So yours is very simple and straightforward. And
yes,
gosh, I wish we had much more time. But just to conclude, I'm going to be playing a favorite track of mine from your album. And it's called There Are Ways. I believe it's the second lullaby.
It's the second lullaby.
Yeah. And just to touch upon what you said about your music feeling like it comes from being present. And I can just hear, or I guess my question is, do you want, when you compose, you are in that present moment. You're feeling present in your body, present in your voice. And present is again, an amalgamation, if you will, of everything you've just said, the good, the bad, and everything in between. So mm-hmm. with that said, I think your words are quite poignant in this song. The song in particular, There Are Ways, where you say, and I quote, "No, there are ways into the night. Leave your fears way down below. No one else could ever make you feel that way." Now, that's just mm-hmm. an open invitation to dig deep and unearth mm-hmm. that dark mm-hmm. space to bring mm-hmm. us to a lightful space in a mm-hmm. way. Mm-hmm. So any last words on what you want? What is your, I know you said what your goal is about what mm-hmm. you want people to experience, but what would you like to do with this music? Would you like to perform it just as much as you can? Mm-hmm.
Well, I suppose one thing I want is for people to experience this music in their bodies, whether that's listening to the audio tracks, which I forgot to mention, I produced with the wonderful David Ridley. So he's the one who added all of the gorgeous electronic textures. Yeah, if people can experience the music and it makes them move their bodies in mm-hmm. a way that feels intuitive and that helps them understand something about their own connection with their body and with the earth, then I'm happy and good to go. And if they came to the live shows and could feel the singers, there's something about the bodily effort of doing this music, because it's not easy to sing. It's actually quite challenging.
Mm.
And so there's something about the visceral nature of singing this music and seeing the singers doing this impressive feat. And not only doing the impressive feat, but being close to us. So I like to have the audience right there with us. And for some songs, it depends, but for some of them, I have the singers moving around the audience so that they're literally feeling the sound touching them in different ways, and that they can experience sound physically. I feel like it's really important to inspire the audience to appreciate their own agency as bodies and voices.
Beautiful, folks. Wow. I really hope you sit back and listen to this podcast, because this has been so enlightening. I'm continuously amazed by Kate's work, but I think more and more by the way she approaches her work and the way she just clarifies it and breaks it down for us, which is not easy, you know, because she does so many mediums. And I'm going to play another track for you, which is called There Are Ways. And Kate, where can we come and support you in London on the 28th of October? Just remind us.
At St. John's Hoxton.
Good. Thank you so much, Kate Smith. This has been a pleasure talking
Thank
to you.
Thank you, Lara. It's always a pleasure.
Hopefully we'll see each other soon, you know, in the same continent, hopefully.
Yes.
Thank you so much, folks, for listening in. This has been The Notes Between with me, Laura Eady, interviewing the fabulous Kate Smith. See you soon.
Ah.